Lord, may my words and actions and the meditations of my heart, everything that is in within me, bring you glory. Amen. Happy New Year. I recently found out, and I'm not, drunk or had too much wine and celebrations last night, that the Christian New Year begins in the season of Advent. I think it's quite significant that we begin in Advent, and you would be forgiven for thinking, like me, that it began with the celebrations of Easter, or perhaps the softness of Christmas Eve, or even the fire at Pentecost. But on the contrary, we begin in a time of waiting, of getting ready, when the shadows of despair, war, sorrow and hate lap at our gate. For it's precisely in these places that the God of grace will arrive. And accordingly, we, God's church, like candles of hope, peace, joy and love. Today we lit the candle of hope as we actively wait together for God's light to overwhelm the world. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, which the early church fathers called the fifth gospel. And maybe because New Testament authors quote Isaiah more than any other author in the library of Hebrew scripture, Isaiah is also waiting, like us, in a time of destruction and gives us moving depictions of a coming new era to hope for, a vision of peace and flourishing, where war is put to end once and for all, inaugurating a new era of shalom. Isaiah is envisaging a time when all the energy that is used for dominance, conflict and brutality, to amass weapons to conquer and defeat enemies, all of that energy is used in a whole new way. Swords into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks. Along with Isaiah, we still have that hope, because injustice, war, sorrow, and despair are still here. As my husband Locke, who's in the army, says, I would love to be out of a job. What would it look like if we spent human time and financial resources not on the Department of Defense, rather on green initiatives, agriculture, sustainable farming practices? What I find interesting is that most of the first part of the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, are not depictions of a world of love and peace and justice. They're actually scathing condemnations of the present arrangement of the current order. For Isaiah and the prophets, you cannot have the new world until you are fully named and unmasked all that is wrong with the present world. You cannot have a new, higher, and better order until you've been brutally honest with everything that is corrupt and destructive with this order. It is a clear and articulate and powerful naming of everything that is wrong. For the prophets, you have to go through this, naming what is unjust and wrong, so you can become aware and then be invited into a new world and a new hope. I could keep this passage at arm's length and discuss the systemic injustices and all that is wrong with this world. And I do believe that the church has a voice and an obligation to speak to these. But I would like to recognize that this vision of peace must begin with us. To become a community of peace, to become a community that welcomes everyone and loves the neighbourhood, we need to name and articulate the violence, the darkness within ourselves. As Richard Rohr says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your habits, actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. What's your character, it becomes your destiny. This is a really tough thing to do. I've spent this last week on retreat getting ready for my vows yesterday, examining every part of me in preparation, naming those things in my life that were kept in the dark and were distracting me from my relationship with God and my relationship with others. It was painful. But I wasn't alone. In verse 3 of our Isaiah reading, we are told that we have someone who will teach us his ways so we can walk in his paths. The one that we are waiting for, who has come to us and who will come again, we can walk in his paths of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love because of who Christ is and what he did and his promises to us. We have hope that in our very darkest places, he will never leave us. We have a choice to see the darkness like the prophets and to put on the armor of light, as Paul in our Romans reading encouraged, and choose the way of love. There are tools to help us turn from dark to light. A plowshare was used to loosen the soil, scratching out a furrow in which to plant, because unplowed ground won't let a crop grow. It's hard soil, preventing seeds from penetrating, germinating, and growing to maturity. A pruning hook resembled a sickle, used to prune and trim vines, cutting off that which is undesired, which hindered the production of fruit. Both of these instruments prepare for new growth. As today is the day after my ordination to the priesthood, I wanted to share with you my hope, the hope that I have for my ministry. I hope to use the skills and gifts that God has given me to help people and communities recognize and respond to the places of destruction and pain within them, and help us all to learn tools for growth, the plowshares and pruning hooks that bring and sustain life. My prayer is that God uses me to help souls that have been ravaged by swords and spears to be transfigured and transformed by the great physician, to gently help people become and see what they already are, beloved children made in the image of God. A few months ago, I came across a song by an artist named Spencer LaJoy. I wanted to share this song with you all today as an expression of my hope for my ministry and for all of us. And when I was preparing this sermon on Tuesday, I only found out that the very verse that we were reading from, Isaiah chapter 2, is the very verse that this song is named for. It's called A Plowshare Prayer. God dots the I's and crosses the T's. When asked to explain the title of this song on the Safe Home podcast, non-binary musician Spencer LaJoy said that the idea of the Bible verse in Isaiah that we heard today is taking things that have been used to hurt us in the past and using them as a tool for growth. Spencer said we have to look at the hardness of our hearts and do some excavation in order for some softness to emerge, in order for something better to grow in its place. Spencer LaJoy said that at some point, I realized that I didn't pray anymore because prayer has hurt me and people like me. And then I was like, prayer hasn't just hurt me and people like me, it's hurt people like that, and people like that, and people like that. So I wondered if I could write a prayer that's not a prayer, that is a prayer for all of us. So, I invite you all now to soak in this prayer offering of Spencer's, and then I will conclude briefly afterwards. Can you sing?
Dear blessed Creator, dear Mother, dear Savior, dear Father, dear Brother, dear Holy Other, dear Sibling, dear Baby, dear Patiently Waiting, dear Sad and Confused, dear Stuck and Abused, dear End of Your Rope, dear Worn Out and Broke, Dear, go it alone. Dear, running from home. Dear, righteously angry, forsaken by family. Dear, jaded and quiet. Dear, tough and defiant, I pray that I'm heard. And I pray that this works. I pray if a prayer has been used as a sword against you, and your heart against you, and your word. I pray that this prayer is a plowshare of sorts, that it might break you open, it might help you grow. I pray that your body gets all that it needs, and if you don't want healing, I just pray for peace. I pray that your burden gets lighter each day. I pray the mean voice in your head goes away. I pray that you honor the grief as it comes. I pray you can feel all the life in your lungs. I pray that if you go all day being brave, that you can go home, go to bed, feeling safe. I pray you're forgiven. I pray you forgive. I pray you set boundaries and openly live. I pray that you feel you are worth never leaving. I pray that you know I will always believe you. I pray that you're heard. And I pray that this works. Amen. On behalf of the last and the least, on behalf of the anxious, depressed, and unseen, amen for the workers, the hungry, the houseless, amen for the lonely and recently spouseless, amen for the queers and their closeted peers, amen for the bullied who hold in their tears. Amen for the mothers of little black sons. Amen for the kids who grow up scared of guns. Amen for the addicts, the ashamed and hungover. Amen for the calloused, the wise and the sober. And amen for the ones who want life to be over. And amen for the leaders who lose their composure. And amen for the parents who just lost their baby. Amen for the chronically ill and disabled. Amen for the children down at the border. Amen for the victims of our law and order. I pray that you're heard. And I pray that this works. If a prayer has been used as a sword against you, and your heart against you, and your word, I pray that this prayer is a plowshare of sorts.
I pray that you know that you are loved in all of your beautiful, complicated humanity. My hope is that you will always have spaces to be vulnerable, to name and examine the darkness within you, and the structure and support to be brave and plow the field and prune the vines so you can become soils of peace and branches of love. I pray that you find in me, as I minister to this community, someone who continues to learn from and walk in the path of Jesus, that can sit with you and remind you that you are loved both as you are and as you are becoming. This blessing from John O'Donohue was written up on the wall on my retreat last week, and I'd like to finish with it because, again, it's so fitting. May you have a wonderful urgency to live your life to the full. May you live compassionately and creatively and transfigure everything. Amen.